April 20th, 2014, Sunday morning service. Today we are going to study from Hebrew chapter 2. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. There are many things that lead Christians away from our faith, and one of them is not listening to and remembering the Word of God. Not knowing the Word will cause us to be drifted away. In the Greek translation, it says to move away, literally like being washed away by the wave. So it is easy to drift away from Christ and start walking on the wide path if we don't listen to the Word. Many Japanese Christians are like that now, for there are many who accept homosexuality and such, and it is clearly written in the Old Testament and also in Romans. And I saw an American gospel singer with horrendous tattoos. I believe those things are all sign of drifting away from the teaching. So here at our church, those who are serious about the discipleship, I strongly urge you to read the Word. It is only for your benefit. I'm not strict or call you aside and reprimand you if you don't read the Bible, but it is only for your good. I myself received very strict discipleship training, which included daily Bible reading requirement. It was very hard, but I know how it benefited me. God's blessing comes only if you live by the Word. If you live like the world, then you will only receive what the world offers. But if you want blessings from God, you have to live by the Word of God. I know so because I strive to live that way. I decided to put God's work first, above anything else, and because of what I did, because I did that, He protected me in many ways, including our finances. Many Christians have problems because they don't know the Word, nor they listen to the teaching of the Word. That's why they drift away from the faith in Christ. The second verse. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? If you read the Bible carefully, the Old Testament says the laws were given by the angels. By the angel of the Lord. The Ten Commandments were given to Moses by the angel of the Lord, and angels were only there one rank lower than God Himself. Let me put it this way. When a VIP passes away, each nation must decide who to send to attend the funeral. Sometimes they send an unknown government official, or other times the head of the nation, like the president himself, would go. So people that each nation is sending reflect how important the deceased person was. So the law of the Old Testament was given by the angels, not from God Himself. But the law in the New Testament was given to us by Jesus Himself. So although I should not even compare the Old Testament laws and the New Testament laws, if I have to, I must say that the New Testament law should have more weight, since it was given to us by God Himself. Let's look at the Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. That's where the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Again, the Old Testament law was given by the angel. But does that mean that we could ignore the law? Not at all. It does say in the book of Acts and in the book of Hebrew that it is important to keep the commandment. The verse we just read says that those who keep the commandment spoken by the angel receive a just reward, and disobedience will also receive a just reward. So this section is basically saying that if we need to keep the commandment given by the angels, which all of the Jewish people were doing back then, how could we dare to ignore the commandment given by the Lord himself? And the verse says that every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. Let's look at what kind of just reward was given to the disobedience and people with transgression. Let's look at the 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 13 and 14. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all of his prophets, every seer, saying, "Turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants and prophets." Nevertheless, they would not hear, but stiffened their necks like the necks of their fathers, who did not believe in the Lord their God. So this is what happened to those people who did not listen to the word of God and ended up being drifted away. The verse 15 says, "And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he had made with their fathers, and testimonies, and his testimonies which he had testified against them. They followed idols, became idolaters, and went after the nations who were all around them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them." This is what some Christians were doing right now, like getting tattoos even though you're a gospel singer, or accepting the homosexuality in the church and not listening to the word of God. Then verse 16 says, "So they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, made for themselves a molded image and two calves, made a wooden image, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal." And after that, they started worshipping the idols, which is worshipping the vessels, like the Catholics worshipping the Pope, and Mother Teresa saying that Hindus will also go to heaven. Verse 17, "And they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire, practiced witchcraft and soothsaying, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger." This passing through the fire could also mean an exposure to the wrong spirit. So if you take your kids to Benny Hinn's revival service, for example, and expose them to the spirit, that is causing your children to pass through the fire. From verse 18, "Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah alone. And also Judah did not keep the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel, which they made. And the Lord rejected all the descendants of Israel, afflicted them, and delivered them into the hand of plunderers, until he had cast them from his sight." So Israel in the north and Judah in the south both were taken out from the promised land and were carried into the foreign land. Israel was taken to Syria and Judah was taken to Babylon. So this is the consequence of not keeping the word and the law which were delivered to them by the angel of the Lord. So we must keep the commandment both by the angel, delivered both by the angel and Lord himself. Otherwise, we will face a grave consequence. Actually, we are already seeing the negative consequence of that, but many have not recognized them yet. The book of Revelation says the establishment of Babylon happens in the end time, and it is happening now. Just many don't see it. You see those rebellious people like described in the verse 15. Like when you're in school, the teacher tells you not to run in the hallway, but some students completely ignore such rules, and then those who ignore the rule always face the consequence. So this is a warning for the New Testament Christians. We read the Bible now so we can learn what happened to God's people and what to do and what not to do. It is not like we have different God in the Old Testament time and we now have a brand new God with new personality in the New Testament. We Christians are still led by the same God, and it is important to know God and His way, and we can learn from other people's mistakes. It is like my sister told me when my second child was born, that the younger one knows how to get around better, because the kid grows up watching the old one making mistakes and being yelled at by the parents and so forth, and they just learn by watching. And I agree with that. Younger one knows how to get around better. So we learn what to do and what not to do by reading the Old Testament. So do not skip the Old Testament, because many Christians tend to do that. Going back to the book of Hebrews, I'm going to repeat the verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? So this is the conclusion. We cannot escape the judgment if we neglect the Old Testament law. The New Testament also warns us about those who do not listen to the word, like the story of a foolish virgins who did not go to meet the groom. So those Christians who think that there is no judgment against them because they have become a Christian, they're so mistaken, and they don't know the word. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His own will. For He has not put the world to come, of which He speaks, in subjection to angels. When you speak to non-Christians, they don't believe in the life to come. But when you read the Bible, it is clear that there is another life waiting after this one, and the one to come is a real one, and is much, much longer, for it is eternal. In this life, even the longest one lives to be like 120 or something, but after life is longer than 100 years, eternal is longer than 100 years. So the question is, which life do we focus on? The Bible emphasizes the eternal life, like Jesus Himself. He taught, trained, and He trained disciples and helped many, many people, but was stripped away with everything, including His garments, and was crucified in the end. It is like what Job said, He came into the world naked and He leaves naked. Jesus lost all the honor and reputation, and even judged as a criminal while in flesh, same as Peter and Paul. They did not care about their current life. So we have to keep that in mind, that this life is not of importance, and we should keep our eyes on the next one. But one testified in a certain place, saying, "What is the man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor." This is about human being. We are lower than the angels, and we are created low, but God still cares about us. It's like a story of Cinderella. She was considered lower than everybody else and was treated badly by her stepmom and stepsisters. But when the prince chose her, everyone was shocked. So when human being was chosen by God, the Satan's angels were shocked. Remember that we are lower being. For example, we only see what's in the natural, and we only have very short life expectancy, though Satan has been around since the time of Adam and Eve. So he must be at least 6,000 years or older. And also in the book of Job, it says that Satan roams around the earth freely. I can only walk around this neighborhood and then get tired after 3 hours or so. So we are inferior in many ways. But God favors people, and Satan and his angels are angry at human beings. So, as Christians, if you don't read the Bible, you don't know where you stand spiritually. And when you read the Bible, you understand why certain things and attacks happen to you. "And set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. We used to be lower than the angels, but because of Jesus who came in flesh and defeated Satan, the table was turned. It's like running a marathon for the Olympics, and you start out late, but you come first for the finish line. As Jesus had gone through the suffering before he obtained glory and honor, this is what we have to expect in our lives too, if we were to follow him. It does not say that we can skip all the sufferings and only obtain glory and honor in the end. It does not say that. Now, I'm very grateful that I get commissioned to do what I do for the Lord. But before I arrived to where I'm at, I went through some difficulties too, like being kicked out of the church and being expelled from the seminary. They started treating me like I was starting a cult group or something, and people at church stopped talking to me. They simply did not talk to me, and as if I didn't even exist. That was hard, but those experiences eventually led me to the work that I do now. So we should all expect some experience and some hardships in order to obtain glory and honor.